Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Glad that you're here. Again, welcome to Christ Covenant. I know that sounds like that's broken on repeat because you've heard it from a lot of people, but again, we're really glad that you're here. And for those watching, listening online, we're glad you're tuned in as well. As my wife just said a moment ago, we're in the middle of a series. In fact, it's part three today, a series called His Name Shall Be. And one thing I haven't mentioned so much, but I want to say right here, whether you're new or whether you've been around for a little bit, is this series is actually going to continue into our special Christmas service next week. So we've been focusing on Isaiah chapter 9, some prophecies from the prophet Isaiah, and talking about the different names that Isaiah gives us being inspired by the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the coming Messiah. And so today we're going to talk about the Everlasting Father, and next week we're going to talk about the Prince of Peace, and it's going to be a very, very special day. And again, I know we've already talked about this, but we mean it. These things right here, I hold one in my hand. We hope and we pray you'll pick them up. Honestly, it's not a win next week if it's just the normal people, like those of us that are normally here. A win is if you go out on mission. So I'm putting you on the mission field these next 7 days, giving these to your friends and your family members. I hope you pick them up by the fistfuls before you leave. If they're all left here, then we just wasted some money, okay? So pick these up and go out this week to bring somebody with you so they can hear the love of Jesus Christ. It's going to be very, very special. Now, getting back to our series, I want to take you to our theme verses, Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, and we're going King James Version again. Here's what God says: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be," that's where we get the title from for this series, called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, Isaiah here gives us four names, four characteristics of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And in week one, part one, we talked about the Wonderful Counselor, and we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot at my expense. We even talked about bad haircuts and posted some things on our social media, and we had a great time going through that. The second week, part two, last week, we talked about how Jesus isn't some hippie, wimpy God, okay? He's mighty, he's powerful. And for those of us that were here, y'all know I came out aggressive. Like, I'm always aggressive, but I was extra aggressive last week because I want to make sure that you knew that our God is more powerful than anything that you face. I wasn't playing around, and I got to tell you, I'm not playing around today either. This week, part three, like I mentioned, I believe God's got something special for us as we talk about the Everlasting Father. And if you're writing down notes today, that's the title as well of the message, that Jesus is, God is our Everlasting Father. Now, I read our theme verses. I want to take you to another passage of Scripture. Last week, we went from the Old Testament, Isaiah, prophecy to the New Testament. This week, we're going to stay in the Old Testament. So I want you to move with me to Psalms, the book of Psalms. There's 150 chapters. There's a lot of things I could have pulled from, but specifically, the Holy Spirit led me to my favorite Psalm. It's Psalm 103. And so if you got a copy of God's Word with you, or you follow along on the YouVersion Bible app, turn with me there. Psalm 103. We started in King James Version and Isaiah. We're going to move to the NIV, New International Version. But Psalm chapter 103, and we're going to start in verse 13. And here's what God's Word says: "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." By the way, we've been talking about this. Let's hit pause for a second. We should fear God, but not man, okay? So it's good to fear God. And maybe that makes you a little bit nervous, a little bit uncomfortable. So let me explain it just for a second again. I want to make sure you get this in your heart and your soul. When God's Word tells us that we should fear God, here's what it really is trying to say: that you should have reverence for God, that we should realize who we are, that we are not God and he is God, that we should be in awe, that we should tremble before the God of the universe, the God of the world. He's holy, he's awesome, he's powerful. In the same way that we should honor our military, in the same way we should honor our government. In fact, even more than that, we should honor God. This is what the word's talking about. Verse 14, for he knows, speaking of God, how we are formed. And he remembers that we are dust. This is not a put down, friend. God's just reminding us that we are finite. We are limited. Even if we live a long time, it's a blip on the spectrum, the scale of eternity. That's what God's saying here. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone and its place remembers it no more. But we transition here to God, verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting. God is eternal. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, who honor him, who have reverence towards him, and his righteousness with their children's children. This is talking about legacy. Verse 18, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much. And today again, we tremble before you and your holy word. This is not just some ancient text with some wisdom in it. This is holy. This is your words as you inspired men to write down, to pin down what you would have them say. So this is not just some self-help book. This is the good book, the holy book. And again, we don't just read it. We ask the holy word, the scriptures, to read us, to move in our hearts. And I pray, God, today, as we see a different side of your character, as we lean into a different part of your attribute, God, because you are beyond description. We know all of that. You are infinite. But God, we can learn more about you. And so as we look to you, our everlasting Father, I pray, God, that you would speak so clearly. I pray, God, if there's any presuppositions, anything that we've brought in with us today when it comes to who you are that is not accurate, that is not a true descriptor, if there's anything we brought with us before we hear this message, I pray, God, that you would help us to tear that down, to see you for who you truly are. Not what our friends have to say, not what our family may have to say, but what you have to say about yourself. And God, I know this, that if we can get another glimpse of you, if we can just see you purely, God, if we can see you for who you really are, we can't help but fall in love with you. We can't help but grow deeper in our relationship with you. In the same way, the more that I get to know my wife, an earthly relationship, that I grow more in love. How much more, God, as we get to know you, a heavenly spiritual relationship, will we not grow more in love with you? So may we humbly approach your word today, and may you speak to us. May you change some things, and may you do a great work, we pray. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Jesus is our everlasting Father. And as you think about this name, as you think about this title, to me and maybe to you, it's a very striking and noteworthy name, a very striking and noteworthy title. And to me, in my opinion, one of the biggest reasons is because everyone in this room, everyone watching, listening online, this word Father holds a lot of weight. As I prayed a moment ago, we all have presuppositions when it comes to this name, this title, Father. In fact, it elicits for a lot of us different images or different memories or different emotions. And maybe for you today, as you think about your earthly father, the memories and the images are fantastic. Like maybe you had and you have a great relationship with your earthly father. Maybe dad was, and if he's still living today, is great. And when you think about him and when you go down memory lane, it's a great adventure for you because of how great your father is. But the reality is as well that not everyone has that kind of dynamic when it comes to their earthly father. Not everyone in this room, not everyone listening, watching online has those kind of memories about their father. And so many people, and maybe this is you, many people have a hard time seeing God as a father because of their earthly father's shortcomings. And some people here today, I'm speaking right to your very soul because this is you. Like maybe your dad was never there for you. Maybe you don't even know still to this day who your biological father is. Maybe you were abused or neglected at the hands of your earthly father. Maybe your dad hardly ever, if ever, verbalized his love for you. Maybe on special occasions, maybe on your birthday once a year, or maybe not at all, never did he say these words, "I love you, I'm proud of you." And here's what I know. I've met a lot of people that are way long in years, have been on this earth for a long time, and they are still trying to please their father, trying to work for his approval. Like, I don't know everyone's story today, and I know this is going to be a heavy message because we have so much baggage, many of us, when it comes to your earthly father. But here's what I do know. Even though I don't know your story in particular, here's what I know. If we're not careful, lean into this, friend. If we're not careful, we can transfer our earthly father's faults onto our heavenly father. And some of you have been doing that. And you're looking at God, you're looking at Jesus through a dirty lens. The lens is not clear. And so my prayer, and I've been praying this, my prayer for you is that all of us, myself included, beginning today, that we would only see Jesus for who he says he is. That we would not let the difficulty that we're in, the circumstances that we faced as a child at the hands of our father, that we would not let that dirty the lens that we see Jesus through. So today I want to highlight a couple of things, in fact, a few things from Psalm 103. And I call these biblical characteristics of Jesus. These are things we don't just see in Psalm 103, but all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I want you to walk away today saying, you know what? Now, maybe for the first time, or maybe the first time for a long time, I see Jesus as the everlasting Father that he is. I see Jesus as the good, good Father that he is. Here's the first one. I hope you'll write this down. Number one, you need to know Jesus in his role as everlasting father in your life, he has compassion. He has compassion. This is from verse 13. As a father basically should have compassion with the words talking about on his children, father should be this way. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Friend, hear me loud and clear. Our God is a compassionate Father, he cares for me. He cares for you. And I think this is a very, very healthy place to start as we look at Jesus as our everlasting Father. Because in general, at least with the many people that I've talked to throughout the years, many people do not see their earthly father this way. In fact, this would be last on the list as many people describe their earthly father. Or let's be honest, it wouldn't even be on the list at all. In fact, many people have this earthly father stereotype that my dad is a tough guy. That, oh, you're hurt? Just rub some dirt on it. Have you heard that one before? Oh, you're sad? Just suck it up, buttercup. Oh, you got this pain? Well, you're going to be okay. Come on, you got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Like, you've got to figure this thing out on yourself. When we got hurt as a child, a lot of us went to mom and not to dad. And so we usually don't think of our earthly father this way, but I got to tell you today that our heavenly father is this way. Now, don't get me wrong. Our God is strong. Our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. Remember, we spent a whole message on this last week, but he is also, he's got many sides of his character. He is also greatly compassionate. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that you'll make this personal today, that God cares about you and he wants to care for you. That he's not looking to hurt you when you mess up. He wants to help you, friend. He has great care and compassion. It's like the story I read a while back about a dad and his young son that I think this just paints this picture beautifully. But this dad, he had asked his young son to do something. And honestly, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a difficult thing for the son to do. But the son looked back in this story, looked back at the dad and said, you know what, dad? I'm not doing it. Now, all the dads in the room, that hurts a little bit, right? Like, that's defiance right there. And so the dad in this story, he's confused. He's like, my son's normally not like this. And so he asks him again, just to make sure that he understood, like, would you do this? And again, this young son stands up as tall as he can, looks his dad right in the eye, and is like, I'm not doing it. Now, I got to give this dad a lot of props because he did not respond the way that I would have responded, friend. He had a lot of compassion. He was calm, cool, and collected. And so here's what he told his son. He said, son, you need to go to your room. And I'll be in there in a little bit. Now, how many of y'all know that have kids or maybe remember back to your childhood? Whenever mom and dad send you to your room to wait on the punishment, that's the worst thing. 30 minutes feels like 3 hours, you know. And so this guy knew what he was doing. So he sent his son to his room, and this dad's just thinking about, I can't believe that he defied me like this. I hadn't really seen this before. And so again, he's calm. He thinks about what he's going to do, and he walks into the room after a few moments go by. And as the dad walks into his son's room to address the issue, because that's what a good parent, a good father would do, as he opens the door, the millisecond that he does, that young son comes to him on his knees begging his dad to forgive him. Why is he doing that? Because he knows that normally punishment is about to come. So he's like, Dad, I'm so sorry. I should have done what you asked me to do. Please forgive me. He is begging his dad not to punish him. He did not want his dad, check this out, he did not want his dad to give him what he deserved. He knew he had disobeyed this young son. He knew he had dishonored his dad. He knew he deserved his punishment, but he asked for mercy. Well, the dad's heart is deeply moved by his son's contrition. And so this father did not give his son what he deserved. It was the best definition of mercy that he could think of. And instead, he took his young son. And if you've seen a child begging like that, so upset, the child is shaking. And he takes his shaking son and he wraps his arms around him and tells him he loves him. He asks his son, hey, do you really understand how you disobeyed me? Do you really understand what you did was wrong? And with tears still filling his young son's eyes, he nods, yes. And check this out. He asks his dad to forgive him, and the father does. He gladly does. But then the dad is thinking in this moment, yeah, I've showed mercy, but I've also got an opportunity to show my son grace. Again, this father is a rock star, y'all. He's got his act together. So here's what he decides. An idea hits him. He leaves his son for a moment, and this dad walks into his bedroom, and he sees some quarters on the counter there in his bedroom. Now, who still has quarters and cash around? I don't know, okay? But it's on his counter. So he takes those quarters, he puts them in his pocket, and this guy's wife sees this whole thing go down, and she asks him, like, what are you doing? What's going on? And here's what the dad says. I just love this. He said, you know what? I've showed him mercy, but I also want to show him grace. I'm going to take him out for ice cream. So he walks in there to his young son and, again, embraces him, tells him he loves him. He says, you know what, son? Not only have I showed you mercy, but I also want to offer you grace. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you out for ice cream and we're going to move forward together. Check this out. Not only did the son receive mercy, not receiving what he deserved, he also got grace receiving what he did not deserve, ice cream. And this is a beautiful and, in my opinion, perfect portrayal of how God the Father responds to us. Friend, when we mess up, and can I tell you something you already know? We all do. You could be Mother Teresa in the room, but you still have faults. You still have insecurities. You still have things in your life that God says, do this, and you pretend like you didn't hear, and you do something else. We all mess up, including the guy on the microphone. But here's the amazing thing about God. God does not rub our nose in our defiance. God does not treat you like a dog. God made you. He knows you. He formed you in your mother's womb. And so what he does is he, just like this representation in this story, he gives you mercy, but he also gives you grace. And he is glad to. Why, Pastor? Why? Because he's the only one who truly can. This is how God responds to you when you make a mistake. God is compassionate. God is caring. God is loving. He wants to offer you grace and mercy. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Can I get amen in God's house? Now, some of us from a certain background, we're like, I can't believe that dad gave him, like, it's almost like he's approving. No. The child humbled himself before dad. The child apologized. The child said, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? The dad did exactly what he should have done. Can I be honest with you? I wouldn't have done that. I would have came in hot and heavy. Who do you think you are? Our son is six. Who do you think you are? 6 years old. I brought you into this world and we can take you out. You know, that kind of deal. This is not politically correct, but back in the day, we used to say you're cruising for a bruising, okay? Now you say something like that and Child Protective Services shows up at your door. So somebody else says that, not me. I'm going to keep on moving. Here's the second thing. Second thing I want you to know about our everlasting Father. Number two, and you're not going to like this one, but it's just as important. Number two, he brings correction. Correction. Y'all give me a good amen on that. I think I get it. You guys are with me today. Okay, I like it. Here's this from verse 18. And with those who keep, notice there's a qualifier with all this good stuff God said. And those who keep his, or with those who keep his covenant and remember, because we forget, remember to obey his precepts. Yes, God offers us grace and mercy. That's all true. He wants to give you, he wants to give me good things. But because he's a good father, he has some guidelines for us to follow. And we don't get excited about this normally because we love the grace and we love the mercy and we love the second, or let's be honest, the 1,000th chance that God will give us. But when we talk about correction, it makes us nervous. When we talk about those bumper strips right on the highway where things start rumbling whenever we get off course, when we talk about those things, we don't really like those as much. But I got to tell you today, God sets up guidelines in your life and in my life not to punish you, but actually the opposite, to set you up for success. Because God knows that you and me, as we get off course, as we start moving our own direction, it will actually hurt us in the long run, and usually there's collateral damage. And so the reason why those rumble strips are there, not to just annoy us, and let's be honest, they do on the highways, because some of them are real obnoxious, especially the ones that are slits into the highway that you can't see all the way. And anytime you're barely over a milliliter, it starts going crazy. And if you got an old car like me, you think your car's falling apart, like they drive us crazy. But they're there for a purpose, that we would remember to obey, that we would remember to get back on course. All the parents in the house know this, that it's not even just correction that God brings. Here's a word that maybe you like better, and it's all the same. God wants to coach you. He wants to coach me. You see, a bad parent never disciplines. So if you're a young parent today and you're thinking, well, I just want to be their friend. I just want to be their best friend, and we're going to bake cookies and eat cookies. They're always going to say they love me. They can hate everybody else, but they're going to love me. If that's you today, it's not real. It's not real. Okay? Like, yeah, you can be friends together, but that should not be number one on your list. Okay? A bad parent never disciplines. A good parent does. A bad parent never corrects, but a good parent does. And so here's my question for some application in your personal life today. to ask yourself this, and if I'm taking notes, I'll jot this down. Am I coachable? Ask yourself that before the Lord today. Am I coachable? Or do I have everything figured out? Like maybe you feel that way when I preach. You're like, yep, heard that before. Yep, heard that before. Yep, I knew that. Before you were born, I knew that. Preach 18 sermons on it. I read from the Greek and the Hebrew and even the Aramaic when it moves into that in the New Testament. Was quoting people. We laugh because it's funny, but maybe you feel that way. And I would think if you do, that's probably not a coachable spirit, right? How many of y'all know my kids, they're real young. I just said my son's 6 and our baby girl just turned 2, not so much of a baby anymore, and they teach me things. So I think if they can, maybe sometimes the pastor can teach us too. I think if our kids can teach us, then maybe people younger than us can teach us. But I'm really not talking about am I coachable before a pastor. I'm talking about am I coachable before the Lord. That when God asks me to do something that I don't like, and if you've never had God ask you something to do something you don't like, then you're not listening very well. When Jesus demands something from you that isn't easy, is it your way or his way? Just trying to make it practical for you today. Because the easy stuff, that's not really submission. We only know we're submitted to an authority, and God is the ultimate authority in every one of our lives. We only know we're submitted. This is outside of my notes. This is a freebie, y'all. We only know we're submitted to God when we disagree with the route God wants us to go. I'm not talking about sin. So if that's creep up in your mind, that's outside, okay? I'm talking about God saying, do this, God saying, say this, and we don't do this. We don't say this. We are not truly submitted then. A staff member, I don't know if they're submitted to my leadership unless they do something that maybe they're not all the way excited about, but I feel like is the right direction. That's the way you know if you are truly submitted. So ask yourself this question today, am I coachable? I could use a lot of examples, but I'll use 2 because these 2 make people very uncomfortable and they'll make you uncomfortable. Let's talk about volunteering and tithing for a second. You're like, yep, those make me uncomfortable. If you read God's word, like I challenge you, if you've never read God's word, make that one of your goals in 2020. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. There's a million plans out there, Bible plans free. Like, make that a goal. Like, that's a great goal. In fact, some people do that every year just to make sure they're fresh. But I would challenge you to read the entire Old Testament, the entire New Testament, and you, if you do that, you will not be able to come up with an argument against volunteering and against tithing. Our argument, they're earthly based. I could give you I preach on a lot of them. I give you Old Testament scriptures about volunteering, serving, not being a consumer, but being a contributor. I could give you a New Testament about tithing. Oh, it's just Old Testament. No, it's actually in the New Testament as well. And so there is no biblical ground for it. It's very clear that God's called us to do both of these things. So the question isn't, should I? The question is, will I? That's the question today. You're going to be mad at me all you want, but I'm just talking about the Bible. The question isn't, should I? The question is, will I? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I can't afford to, or I don't have enough time to, but talk to the many people in our church body that do faithfully tithe. Talk to the many people in our church body that do faithfully serve and volunteer. Yes, you should do it outside the church, but right now I'm talking about inside the church. Talk to the many people that do that, and they'll tell you this, I can't afford not to. Because God has asked me to do this, and so I'm going to obey. I'm going to walk in obedience to God. I want to receive his coaching. Yes, I'd rather spend 10% of my income on something else sometimes, if I was honest. But God has called me to obey, and so I'm not just going to give him the 10%. I'm going to give him the first 10%. I'm going to give it to him at the beginning because I know he'll help me figure out everything else. So what happens is, friend, not just in these 2 areas, but in any area of life, when we're walking in disobedience to what God has clearly spelled out in his word, and we wonder why we aren't fulfilled. We're clearly disobeying God, and we're wondering why our life is in a mess. We wonder why we aren't doing well. And I'm just asking a question, is it maybe, just maybe, because God is bringing some correction and some coaching that we haven't yet yielded to? And I'm talking way beyond volunteering, way beyond tithing right now. my life is falling apart. I'm going to church and I'm trying to read my Bible and I'm trying to pray. Like, everything's going wrong. I'm not here. Like, is it maybe, just maybe, because the last thing God asked you to do, you still haven't done. You know, people come to me sometimes, they're like, hey, I don't know what I should do. I don't know what God's calling me to do. And a lot of times I'll say something like this: well, what's the last thing God has asked you to do? And have you done it? I'm walking in disobedience and I don't understand, like, what's going on. And I'm not saying that God is making a mess of your life, okay? I'm saying this, that if things are out of order, maybe it's on you and not on God. If things are a mess in your life, maybe it's because you're so far past the rumble strip on the highway that you're in the grass. And we blame it on God. Well, God, how could you do this? And God is like, 6 months ago, I told you to do something else, and you didn't do it. A year ago, I told you not to start that relationship because it was going to pull you away from God, but you did it. 2 years ago, I told you not to switch jobs. Yeah, it was more money, but it was going to be less time with your family. And you wonder why. I'm preaching real good today. Come on, somebody. And I wonder why everything's going awry. It's not on us, or it's not on God. It's on us. It's not on him. It's on us. I love what Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to coach you. He wants to bring correction and discipline when necessary. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. It's because he loves you. He cares for you as a father, the son he delights. And here's a third point. I'm going to hit it quickly. Tony's going to come play behind me. Here's a third point. Number three, I want you to know that Jesus, our everlasting father, he has commitment. He is committed to you. Let that sink in. He is committed to you. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, remember, God's eternal. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, who honor him, who revere him, and his righteousness, this is legacy, with their children's children. What does this mean, Pastor? It means this: God is in it for the long haul. Would you lean in? The end of the message, we're gonna pray here in a second. God is committed to you. I know we have some earthly relationships, God forbid, maybe even the marriage that you're in. We've got some earthly relationships that it seems like we make one mistake and they're gonna jump ship. God's not that way. God cares for you. Like, would you receive the word from the Lord today? God's committed to you. He's not looking to go somewhere else. He's our Father, but he's also an everlasting Father. We can count on him. I wrote it down this way. Don't mistake your lack of commitment for his. The Holy Spirit's speaking right now. If you're here today and you feel like God is far, guess who moved? It was you, not God. God's far from me. He doesn't move away from us. We sang it in the worship set a moment ago. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. One of my favorite, personally, descriptors of the Lord. You could have walked 10,000 miles away from God, but it just takes you one step to get right back where you need to be. Before I close and before we pray, don't put it on the screen yet, guys, for those in the room. But I actually, and I don't even want you to turn there. I don't want you to study it. I just want you to receive it. But before I pray for you, I'm going to go back to the few verses before the ones that we read today, our main text. And I just want you to receive. This is how God feels about you. Psalm 103, but starting in verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Let's pray. God, I pray your words would sit heavy on every soul. God, you are a good, good Father. We know this, even the best of us here on this earth, even the best dads, the best fathers out there, they all pale in comparison to you because we are flawed humanity. We are flawed. We will all make mistakes. I know I do all the time. But we thank you, God, that you never make a mistake. We thank you, God, that you are everlasting Father. Like I said at the beginning of the message, you're not mad at us. You're madly in love with us. We thank you for your great compassion. Come on, right now, the Holy Spirit, close your eyes, bow your heads if they're not already. Right now, the Holy Spirit, he's cleaning that lens, the lens you've been looking at Jesus through. He's cleaning it up. All the dirt, all the decay, all the circumstances of life that have come in and they've muddied that lens and you haven't seen Jesus for who he really is. Right now, if you'll let him, the Holy Spirit will come in and clean that lens. God, we receive the truth from your word right now that you are compassionate, that you are caring, that you are loving, that yes, you're strong and mighty. That is so true. But what's also true is that you have great compassion for your children, for us. You're not looking to rub our nose in our mess. If we'll approach you humbly, ask you to forgive, you're faithful to do just that. You want to offer grace. You want to offer mercy. God, I thank you right now as you clean the lens that we see you through. I thank you, God, that when necessary, you bring correction. And the only reason you do is because you love us. You don't want to keep something from us. You want something for us. It's why you put the rumble strips in our life. Holy Spirit, it's why you speak to us and let us know, hey, that was not the right attitude. Hey, that was not how you should treat that relationship. Hey, I asked you to do this and you haven't done it yet. We thank you, God, for your coaching. And I pray today that if we haven't been coachable, that we would start today. And maybe it's as simple as practical as going back to the last thing you asked us to do that we still haven't done. And I pray lastly, God, that you'd help us to realize how committed you are to this relationship. You're not looking to leave. You're not looking to jump ship. You're steady. You're committed. You're faithful. We can rely on you, our everlasting Father. We thank you for the truth of your word. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed for a moment, just honoring this moment as the Holy Spirit's speaking and directing. If you're here today in this room, or maybe you're watching, listening online, you look at your relationship with the Lord and it's struggling. When I describe somebody, it's like, man, I don't feel God. Where's God? When I describe somebody in that way, you're like, that's me. But today you realize that God hasn't moved, you moved. That God hasn't walked away, you walked away. And if that's you, I want to give you a chance to take that one step back to God, to surrender your life afresh and anew to him. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but right where you're seated, right where you're watching, right where you're listening online, I'm going to ask you to respond. If you're far from God, but you want to get your life right with him, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you in a moment? Thank you, Jesus. I see him. You can put him down. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Respond online as well. Thank you, Jesus, for the hands that have gone up. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we're going to do. Keep those eyes closed. You're just listening to my voice. You're just listening to God speak to your hearts. those that raised your hand a moment ago, and everybody else in this room who loves Jesus. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. It's a prayer of commitment back to the Lord. It's a prayer that you verbalize, you speak out loud who Jesus is, that you put your belief and trust in him and what he did on the cross and how he rose from the grave. And you ask him, as a young son did in the story at the beginning, you ask him to forgive you. And if you'll say that out loud, and even more than that, mean it with all your heart, God hears you, God knows you, and God will save you. So the several hands that were lifted a moment ago, and everybody else, say this out loud with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion, for your correction, and for your commitment. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Jesus, I take you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come on, tell him this today out loud, friend. I surrender all. Jesus, I give you my past, I give you my present, and I give you my future. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, say that again. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.